Good morning to each and every one of you here this morning. Kind of feels good to have the ability and the energy and so on to be in front of you once again. It's been a long time, I will say that. So from the reading, I have a few things I'd like to discuss. Paul's telling the Galatians that they began their Christian life with joy, passion, and zeal. But with all of that said, he wants to know, who beat you down? Who drove you back to your old ways, away from what you learned and came to acknowledge in Christ? Who ran in such a way as to throw you off the path of Christians, of being a Christian, or who caused them to stray? We need to understand, though, that no matter what that outside influence was, it still takes one thing for a person to stray, and that is for that person to quit believing the truth and begin believing the lie. It's on that individual. You can't blame the outside influence if you allow them to sway your beliefs. We need to understand that once we start that path, we have to remain faithful, and that is faithful toward the Word. He talks about a little leaven, leavening the whole loaf, and you all understand yeast and a pack of bread dough, what it does. That was one of the things I loved when I was growing up, watching my mother bake bread. A little leaven causes what? Great harm when we allow it to influence the church and to influence ourselves. Errors are adopted from accepting outside influences. But these outside influences are acting upon these Christians at this time within the church that Paul is talking to. Whether it's conformance to certain rites or certain customs, whether it's allowing teachers, whether it be one teacher or a series of teachers, to stray, one thing is true. Failing to continue the race towards salvation, toward eternal life, those changes can be small at first, maybe even seem insignificant. May come from just a handful of people or just one person. May not seem that it's that important up front at the time it's happening. But such doctrines infused into the Lord's church causes great harm, spreads like leaven throughout the other believers, and we become infected within the church. But Paul says he has confidence that these transgressors, the ones that strayed, that fell back, will come to their senses and come back to the truth. He's also saying that the offending person or persons, the outside influence, will be disowned, will be shut off. Notice that Paul himself does not name the person or persons that caused them to err. But the brethren should know who it is or who it was that caused the error in their way of thinking. And every man is going to have to bear his own burden, and every man will be responsible. Man and woman will be responsible. But Paul says that we are free, that we have liberty. New King James says liberty, and I noticed that Curtis's version didn't say liberty, but we're free. We're not subject to the law of Moses any longer. We're free from the aches and pains of sin. We're free from the subjection to expensive and burdensome rites and ceremonies and customs. But they're to remember that the race toward eternal life is very important and it must be maintained. We can't just transgress. We cannot accept outside influences to cause us to stray. Paul then says we must love one another. Romans 13, starting verse 8. Owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love one another. We're not to sting or bite. We're not to cause contention and strife among the brethren. We're not to devour one another. Understanding all these outside influences can destroy the spirituality of the church. It can annihilate the influence that Christians have within themselves and within the community. And there is the object lesson is that it's going to excite a spirit of contention. And that, my friends, we should not allow to happen. So I'm saying that we are free to help, not free to hinder. And I'm going to read Romans 14, 12 through 23. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. I know I am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us not pursue the things which make for peace and things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for a man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not of faith is sin. And these are the points I want to look at this morning. Our Christian liberty being interpreted, being illustrated, and being investigated. In the Romans reading, we need to understand, Paul says all things are neutral. All material things are neutral. But there's a controversy that's been going on in the Roman church at this time, whether it was right to eat meat sacrificed to idols. And that was causing strife within the church. And this is what Paul is addressing. Paul tells them that a chunk of meat is perfectly neutral. Do you understand that? It has neither the power to do good, nor can it do evil. It's an inanimate object. It cannot lie, cannot kill, it cannot steal. This applies to all the material things in this world. Mark 7:15, when he had called all the multitudes to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile him. If anyone has the ears to hear, let him hear." We need to open our ears and hear the truth. And that truth comes from God's word. We understand that there are those things that are forbidden. God's always given not a list, but some things that we should not be doing. Adultery, excessive alcoholism, murder, stealing, false witness, covetousness. These are seen in the scripture as being forbidden. So such things have no place in a Christian's mind or a Christian's life or a Christian's heart. And remember, it's what's in the heart that is what is going to count. And that is what makes it clean or unclean. And understand, all men are going to be facing judgment. Here especially, Paul's talking to the Christians, but all men are going to create. But Christians, our character and our conduct is being looked at day in and day out. Our words, our actions, our plans, our purposes, every work and every purpose is going to be brought forward, going to be talked about, going to be discussed. So we should not be engaged in condemning our brothers, our brethren. Rather, we should be examining whether I am prepared to give an account of my conduct, of my life, with joy and not with grief on that day. And the judgment's going to come from Jesus Christ. Acts 17, 30, 31. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. That is Jesus Christ. Let us not judge. We're going to be given account of ourselves on that day, just as will every other man. We must therefore be there on what merit we completed. And by whatever measure we judge, understand, Matthew 7:2 says, by that same measure I will be judged. So let us not suppose that we have a right while we're on this world to judge, especially our brothers and sisters, but not only them, but others as well. We cannot be the one that laid a stumbling block before someone else. Let's not do anything that will place an obstacle where someone will trip. In other words, sin, because of our actions. Our Christian liberty, our liberty, must not give an occasion of railing and unkind remarks from others. And I'm going to say not only our fellow Christians, but also the people in the world. An obstinate adherence to my principles, to my measures, may only give rise to contention and angry discussions and bring evil reports among men on the one who's being obstinate. We need to understand there comes a time when we have to yield our liberty, our private, unimportant personal indulgence to the good and the cause of religion and of peace. Some things are spiritual. Paul tells us that Christianity is not a list of do's and don'ts. When you become a Christian, you shouldn't be sitting down and writing a list. Do this, don't do that. There's a good way to know how to live your life once you become a Christian, and that is study the scripture, understand God's word. If we were to compare our list of do's and don'ts with people from other religions or even atheists, we might be surprised to find they're leading a cleaner life than I am myself. food for thought, something to think about when you start judging someone else. Christianity is about a living, vital relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and our goal of eternal life. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, as Paul said. When Jesus truly sits on the throne in our lives, in other words, we understand Christ, we put him first, we will want to exhibit righteousness. Such a person will not need to put a bunch of rules in place to lead them in their life. And if we're truly saved, we'll want to please the Lord and honor other believers. We need to let the Bible be our guide. When are we going to learn that instead of judging people by our measuring stick and condemning them when they don't measure up to my standards, we should be exalting the glories of a vital living relationship with Jesus? And that is by learning his word. Instead of being salt and light, many have become tasteless and dim. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with your minds striving together for the faith of the gospel. Are we believers who have a joyful heart? Are we believers who are excited about our relationship with Christ? Are we believers that truly understand our liberty and understand our brotherly love? Ask yourself this question. If someone were to watch you for an entire week, at the end of that week, would they say they want to have the same life, the same activity toward Christ that you do, or would they find there's something amiss and not want to have the relationship that you have? Let us lay aside all contentions, live in harmony. We need to understand that we are here to aid our brother, to edify, to build one another up. And it was interesting as I built this lesson, to build as a house. When we're born, we're starting to build a house in our lives. For those of us here this morning, Christians, we came to a point where our house stopped because we learned of Christ. We accepted Christ, and we wanted to be a child of Christ. So we had to reconstruct our house. I hope that makes sense to you, because now we're building upon a different foundation. We're to be transformed, not by this world, but according to the Word of God, then to adorn, then to do anything that will confer favor to other people. And applied to the church, it means anything by teaching, counsel, or advice which will result in promoting peace and harmony, love, and practices toward our objective of eternal life. We're here to aid Christians, to aid one another, to be a brother, sister to one another, and to enable these expressions, the idea of building upon or rebuilding upon. Ephesians 2:19-22. Now therefore you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place in God in the Spirit. Some things are individual between God and me. Some things you can't control between God and me. I have to do that. You can guide me, you can teach me, but still, these things are personal between God and myself. God's going to teach us what we can and cannot do. Forget that list of do's and don'ts. Now, listen to this statement. Well, if the Lord says that it's all right for me to do so, then I'm going to do as I please. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks. That is the obstinate adherence to self. But how about this? I know I can do that, and it will not affect my relationship or fellowship with God. However, if my brother sees me do that, it would offend him and cause him problems in his walk with the Lord. Therefore, because I love God and I love my brother, I will not do that thing. When we become a Christian, we start out as a babe. We're in need of milk to allow us to grow. And then we come to a point where we start taking solid food. But we never stop. It's called maturing. And the second phrase that I read is exactly what maturing is all about. Understanding it's okay for me to do this. I have liberty to do that. However, if someone sees me do that and it offends them, then I have not love if I continue to do it. I'm going to not do it so that I don't cause them issues. So the task before us is to keep everything in its proper perspective. Christianity is about an inner relationship with Jesus that manifests itself in outward righteousness and joy of life. Just because I have the liberty to do certain things doesn't make it right. In everything I do, I must think about God and think about my brother. A Christian liberty is illustrated. We're to show compassion to our brother. Paul states that we are to exercise our liberty in Christ, and if it offends our brother, then we need to cease from doing such a thing. If we're going to walk in love, then everything we do should be in harmony with one another and within God's word. John 13:35, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And trust me, people can tell if you have love within you or not for other people. They can see it in your actions and in your words. Does this please me? Do I want to do this? Me, me, me. I went through the me generation when I was in the service. And was that a shock to culture? But this is not a display of Christian love when I do it all for myself, because it's not about self. Therefore, be careful that we don't place a stumbling block my weaker brother. Paraphrase something here. Who's the weaker brother? I think we need to be careful when we start talking about the weaker brother. Folks, I'm going to tell you I have strengths, but at the same time, I have weaknesses. So there are going to be points where I am strong, but there are going to be points where you know better than I, therefore I am weak. That's where the communication comes in, where we talk one to another. And if someone isn't quite in line, we can do correction. But we need to do it together. We need to learn that if I'm doing something that offends you, you have to tell me. I have to know that it's offensive so that I can stop. So who's the weaker brother? Let us keep that in mind when we think about these things. We need communication. Talk with one another. Not behind one's back with another person. That gets us nowhere. Talk directly. We need to make contribution to our brothers. Will this action cause peace or division in the church? Will this promote harmony or will it cause a problem? Will my brother in Christ grow by seeing me do this, or will his growth in the Lord be stunted by my actions? These are the things we're going to be held accountable for. Trust me. We must be careful not to let our liberty hinder the church as the whole or an individual one-on-one. I'm going to make a quick example. Charles Spurgeon was an English Particular Baptist preacher, well known worldwide for his preaching. He preached to thousands in the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, England, in the 19th century. For most of his life, he was a tobacco user. He smoked a pipe. One day, he's walking down the street, and he passes a tobacco store, and he sees a sign in the window, the tobacco that Spurgeon uses. That sign convicted him. And he realized that by him smoking that pipe, he may be causing others shame, may be causing others to look at things incorrectly. And from that day forward, he never smoked again. That's just one example, but trust me, there's millions of examples we could go through. And our Christian liberties are being investigated. The eyes of men are upon us in everything we do. And think back when you were first baptized. Do you not remember people looking at you sharply because you changed? They didn't change. You changed. And your life started having an effect on them. And trust me, you remember. We must be consistent in our walk. Romans 2, starting verse 17. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor to the foolish, a teacher of babes, having a form of knowledge and the truth in the law. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. Paul's telling this group that because of the things that they're doing, even the heathen don't want anything to do with their God. Even the heathen don't want anything to do with a God that would allow such things to go on. So God's being blasphemed among not only brother, but among those outside, the heathen, as they are called. Their hypocrisy and their crimes have led the pagan world to want nothing to do with that God. The life of purity will tend to honor religion and its author, God. The life of impurity does the reverse. The eyes of the Master are upon us, Romans 14:12. So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22, "Test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil." 1 Corinthians 31:33, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense, neither to the Jews or to the Gentiles or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profits of many, that they may be saved." In life, there's going to be many situations where we're going to be called upon to make a decision between right and wrong. Exercise our liberty or refrain. What we decide in those moments reveals the truth of the condition of our heart. When we have come to the place where the Lord Jesus and the needs of others come before our own wishes and desires, we have begun the process of maturing in the Lord. May God help each and every one of us get there through His guidance. Let us truly come to understand our liberty in our walk in life for God.